focusing on the subject of men and women's hair in light of the Bible, as far as what are the standards or the requirements, what are the commandments, if you will, from God of how we should keep our hair. Now, we're going to look at this from a couple of different angles here. In the very beginning, we're going to come back to 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. That's going to be our main text. That's the clearest teaching in all of the Bible. So we are going to come back to 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. But I first want to look at a couple of texts in the Old Testament. So I want you first to turn to Leviticus chapter number 21, verse number 5. Leviticus chapter number 21, verse number 5. So we're going to be talking about hair length. I also want to touch on the subject in just a moment of modesty. Here's a couple of commandments that are given in the Old Testament to the children of Israel. So look at Leviticus chapter number 21. Look at verse number 5. The Bible says this: "Thou shalt not make baldness upon they shall not make baldness upon their head, neither shall they shave off the corner of their beard, nor make any cuttings in their flesh." Look at verse number 6. "They shall be holy unto their God." So that is the reason why they shall be holy unto their God and not profane the name of their God. And then he goes on, "For the offerings of the Lord made by fire and the bread of their God they do offer, therefore shall they be holy." Go over to Leviticus chapter number 19, verse number 27. Leviticus chapter number 19, verse number 27. So we can see that there were commandments about the way in which the men of God in the Old Testament, the men of Israel, kept themselves, the way in which they kept their hair, the way in which they kept their bodies. There was different commandments there about their beards, about their heads, about the cuttings on the flesh, different types of commandments. Look here, Leviticus chapter number 19, verse number 27. This isn't anything new. God has always cared about how man looks. People will go so far as to say, "Oh, the way you look, you know, it doesn't mean anything." The more of the new evangelical Christians will try to say things like that. They'll use the verses, you know, where the Bible says specifically, you know, when God is looking for a man to anoint, he's looking for David is actually who he's about to anoint. And they bring forth David's older brother. And Samuel tells, God tells Samuel, you know, "Don't look upon his stature." And then he explains to him, you know, God looks upon the heart. He doesn't look upon the outward appearance. And people try to use that verse to say, well, then God just doesn't care about the outward appearance at all. That's not what that's teaching. There are commandments all throughout the Bible about how you are to look, how you are to carry yourself, how you are to groom, the clothes you are to wear, all different things. So we don't just take one verse, twist it to mean whatever we want. We actually believe the Bible. So we need to go to the Bible to see all practices in our life need to come from the authority, which are the Scriptures, of course. Amen. All the way back to the Old Testament, God cared what people looked like. God cared what the children of Israel looked like. Look at Leviticus chapter number 19, verse number 27. Leviticus chapter number 19, verse number 27, it says this: "Ye shall not round the corners of your heads, neither shalt thou mar the corners of thy beard." It goes on, verse 28, you'll notice these things are connected. This actually happens in a couple other places too. We're not going to look at it. Verse 28, he says, "Ye shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. I am the Lord." So notice that he's giving commandments on what? On their outward appearance. Why would he do that if he didn't care about how they look? He does care. He does care, obviously. That's the only answer. God cares how you look. God cares how those that are representing him. So in the Old Testament, who were the people of God? The nation of Israel. The New Testament, Christians. You know, a nation made up of all kindreds and peoples and tongues, right? So Christians in the New Testament should care about how they look. We are supposed to be representing the Lord. We should be holy just like he is holy. So don't fall for this garbage that it doesn't matter what you look like. It does matter what you look like. It does matter how you're dressed. I want you to turn to 1 Peter chapter number 3. 1 Peter chapter number 3. 1 Peter chapter number 3. As Christians, we should be modest. As Christians, we should be modest. Our goal should not be to draw attention to ourselves. Our goal should be to draw attention to Jesus. Our goal should be to draw attention to the Lord Jesus Christ. We ourselves should be humble. We ourselves should be modest. That's what it means to be modest. You know, not to carry yourselves, in the way in which you are causing everyone to look at you. So look at 1 Peter chapter number 3, look at verse number 2. More specific here towards women, but this of course applies to men and women. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, then it says this, whose adorning, speaking unto a woman, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. So notice there in verse number 3, he explains modesty, doesn't he? He talks about being modest, and he says specifically, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning. And then he actually mentions the hair. He says, of plaiting the hair, and of wearing of gold, or of putting on of apparel. So a woman should not be known by, or should not be, you know, thought of as just someone that, just the way that they look, should they? When you think of the women in our church, when you think of the women that are representing Christ, what should it cause you to think about? It should cause you to think about Christ, shouldn't it? It should cause you to think about the inner man, like this speaks of. And who is that? Who are you representing? The Lord Jesus Christ, of course. You know, Christians, right? 1 Timothy chapter number 2. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter number 2, verse number 9. That's why we're called Christians. 1 Timothy chapter number 2, verse number 9. We'll see this again, the importance of being modest. Now, this applies to all of our outward appearance. So, what does that mean? That means you shouldn't be going around, like tonight's sermon specifically is towards hair, right? You shouldn't be going around, you know, any part of your body, but you shouldn't be going around with a specific type of hairdo, if you will, or a hairstyle, right? That's drawing attention to you, should you? Now, what would be like the epitome of this? You know, what's that? Anybody say something? Mohawk. That's exactly what I had down as my example. That's what I figured somebody would say, right? A mohawk or a faux hawk, right? Or something along those lines. Right? Wouldn't that be like, what is just the epitome of just screaming, look at me, right? And that's really what it is, isn't it? Just look at me. You know, and really what it ends up doing is, you know, you end up looking ridiculous. Because someone that tries so hard to get people to look at them, it doesn't bring like, hey man, you're cool. It brings like, man, you need some more self-esteem. That's really what it does. Like, you shouldn't be so concerned about what people think about you. That's what it ends up telling you. When people are overly concerned about what the world thinks about them, it's because they're not confident, you know, in themselves in the first place, right? Because they're not confident in who they are and where they're at in their lives. And that ends up doing it. It actually, you know, brings the exact opposite of a response. When you look at someone like that and they're walking around and they're just desiring attention so much, it ends up not being a positive attention. You know, what else are something that people will do with their hair that will just try to just bring as much attention as they can? One thing could be this, and I didn't actually have this down, but the plaiting of the hair. Just trying to put all kinds of fancy things in their hair, or putting some sort of, you know, just something that's meant to, just some sort of ornament that's meant to just draw a lot of attention to your hair, right? That could also be that. People will dye their hair now, won't they? What's the reason why they're doing that? Because they don't want to be like everyone else. They want to stand out so that when you see them, what happens? Your eyes are automatically attracted to them. So if a Christian's doing that, are they trying to bring attention to Christ, or are they trying to bring attention to themselves? They're trying to bring attention to themselves, aren't they? And what should we be doing as Christians? We should be modest. We should be trying to be as normal as possible. We should be trying to be as modest as possible. Our job is not to just stand out and look cool. That's not our job, right? Look at 1 Timothy chapter number 2, verse number 9. It says this, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel. So now it's talking about the clothing. It says, in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array. Verse 10, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. I want you to go back to 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. So again, we learn the same thing from that passage, that it shouldn't be, you know, man, she's got such a, a fancy braided hairstyle. That shouldn't be when we look at your wife or we look at your daughter, what we think about, should it? We should be, what should really stand out to us is the inner man within your daughter, the inner man within your wife. you know, the Christian character that she possesses, right? The integrity that she has, her principles and her virtues in her life. That's what we should be, you know, our attention should be drawn to when we think of women. Men's the same way. All these things apply to men and women. You know, we shouldn't be thinking like, man, Brother Box has got some cool hair, right? That shouldn't be what's popping into our mind. You know, you guys are shaving your beard and stuff, so I'm going to make sure I preach about it. No, I'm just kidding. I thought that would be read it a moment ago, but I didn't say it. You know, but we shouldn't be thinking, hey, man, he's got some nice hair. I really wish I had his hair, right? You know, that shouldn't matter to us, should it? It shouldn't matter what kind of hair somebody has, right? It sounds petty, but people are going around envying other people's hair. They really are. They're envying. They're like, man, I want some hair like that. Or in your guys' case, any at all. No, I'm just kidding. I had to. Yeah, but here's the thing. It shouldn't matter. It's going to take a minute to get over. It shouldn't matter at all. It shouldn't matter whether you have hair, whether you don't have hair, what your hair looks like, the style of hair. That shouldn't be important to you at all. That shouldn't matter to you at all. What you should be concerned about, what you should be worried about in your life is that the inner man. Whether you're a man, whether you're a woman, we all can learn from these passages that we just read from. We shouldn't be trying to draw attention. You wouldn't care in the first place if you were worried about the inner man. You wouldn't care in the first place if what you were concerned about was making sure that you could teach others by your example. I want people to look at me and I want them to say, hey, that guy is a modest guy. That guy really has, you know, great virtues in his life. That guy, that guy is a great Christian. I mean, what better thing could be said than that, really? People at work, when they're talking to one another, maybe they're not even a Christian themselves, but they go home and they tell their wife, like, hey, we hired this new guy at our job or whatever. He's been working here for about 3 or 4 months. Man, that guy's a really great Christian. You know, he's catching on quick, talking about other things maybe. And they say, you know, he's a Christian. He really takes it serious. I mean, what better thing could be said about you than that? He's a great Christian. Now, if you went to work and you were really concerned about what you look like, you're really concerned about your hair, you're really concerned about your outward appearance, even if you were a pretty good Christian, do you know what that person would think? All they're going to think about is the way that you look. You know why? Because it draws attention away from Christ. It draws attention away and glory away from Him that you could be bringing to Him. But because you're so concerned about, you know, you're bringing praise and glory to yourself by the way that you look, by the way your hair is, by the way your clothes are. You know what it does? Is it reflects the glory from Christ and it brings it all to you. What vanity. How vain can you be? What does that help you any? None at all, does it? So we need to be modest. Why do we need to be modest? Because the purpose of the way that we, the reason why we do anything in our lives should be to bring glory to Christ. Everything should be to bring glory to Jesus. Everything. So you know why we're modest? Because I want Him to receive all the glory, not myself. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. Now this is the clearest scripture in all of the Bible. The clearest scripture in all of the Bible on how we are to keep our hair, and specifically the length of our hair, you know, the length of our hair, and how men and women, how their hairs should differ. Now, I'm going to go ahead and say this, as everyone I'm here, know, you know, I'm sure knows this already, but the Bible is very clear that men are to have short hair, and women are to have long hair. This is not a discussion, and here's the thing, this is not talked about a lot in the Bible. It's really only discussed in 1 Corinthians 11, but you don't need any other passages. It's that clear. It's just like this. Is the Bible, how many verses, if we only had Exodus 20 that told us that you're not supposed to steal, would you really need another verse? You wouldn't, would you? Well, you don't need another verse other than 1 Corinthians 11. It's very clear that men are to have short hair and women are to have long hair. This is all that we need. I want you to look at 1 Corinthians 11. We're going to read down through here all the way till about verse 16. So this is going to be our main text for a few minutes, and then I'm going to deal the remaining portion of the sermon with a couple of objections that people will bring up. So look at 1 Corinthians 11, verse number 1. Paul writes this, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. But I would have you know," this is where it begins, this thought, "that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. So he's laying out the structure as far as in the church, if you will, how it goes with in between a family and between God. That's the structure he's laying out first here. So I want you to look at verse number 4 now. It says this, every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. Now, this is not difficult to understand. For whatever reason, people misunderstand this all the time, what it means to be covered. But it actually defines it for you here in just a couple of verses. So we're going to come back. But I want to skip forward first just to get a definition of what it means to be covered, your head. A man praying for his head to be covered. I want you to look at verse number 14 and verse number 15. So it says this, doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him. Now, can that be any more clear? If you have long hair as a man, it's a shameful thing. Right. It's embarrassing. It's shameful. That's what that means. And something that brings shame is sin. That's why it's shameful, because it's sinful. That's why. All throughout the Bible, when the Bible talks about someone being naked, it's shameful. It's a sin to be naked. That's why. That actually represents the sin. Now, here I want you to look in verse number 15, it says this, but if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her. Now watch this, for her hair is given her for a covering. So now in these particular verses, in this context, what is the covering? The hair. Isn't that very plain? Okay, now let's read all of this in context with that in mind. Now that we have the definition in context of what covering is, and let's go back to verse number 4. And this makes perfect sense now, because it says, every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, watch what it says, dishonoreth his head. Now, doesn't that make perfect sense if it is shameful for you to have long hair, and then the hair is the covering? Makes perfect sense, doesn't it? So, notice what he's doing. It says he dishonoreth his head. Now, I believe that there's a double meaning to this, or a double application to this. Number one, he's dishonoring himself. His own head, because it's a specific reference physically to his head being covered. But you know what else it dishonors? His head is in Christ, exactly. His boss, who is Christ, right? So he's dishonoring Christ. Now it tells us why here in just a moment, but let's keep looking at verse number 5. It says this, but every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head, watch this, uncovered, dishonoreth her head. So notice, the man dishonors his head by having the covering, which is what? By having long hair. Right? Then it says that the woman, if she prays or she prophesies with her head uncovered, so what? Not having long hair, because that's the covering. Keep that in mind. With her head uncovered, it says, dishonoreth her head. So what is she doing? She's dishonoring her own physical head. It's embarrassing. It's shameful. Just like it's shameful for the man, it makes perfect sense that it would be shameful for her, wouldn't it? Now, not only that, there's the spiritual application. Who was the man's head, as in the boss? Christ. Who's the woman's head? The man. So you know what else she's doing? She's dishonoring her husband, and she's shaming her husband. You know why? Because here's the thing. When there are commandments of God, and let's say Christians, and this is, of course, commandments that are given to Christians, and it's very clear that the man in the Bible is to be the head of the household, isn't he? So, do you know who's responsible for the household and things going right? It's the man. When Adam and Eve sinned, both of them, do you know what happened? God came to Adam and asked him. He questioned Adam immediately. Do you know why? Because he's the head of the house. He's the one that's responsible for his wife. So, if your wife is doing something that she's not supposed to be doing, it's your fault. And it, you know what happens? It brings a reproach upon you as the head of the household. She's dishonoring you. She's bringing shame even unto you. Now, keep reading there now that we understand both applications. Look at verse number... let's continue reading. We didn't finish verse 5. So there at the end it says this, for that is even all one... And it says this, as if she were shaving. Saying it's just as bad with her just having short hair as if her head was completely shaven. So what's it matter? If the commandment is to have long hair, what would it matter if you had short hair, or if it was shaven, either one? You're breaking the commandment either way. That's the point. It doesn't matter how short it is. It would be like saying this. And I'm going to get into what I believe, how long the hair should be, you know, in general. But let's say this. Let's say God gave us a specific command, he said it needs to be longer than your shoulders, right? Well, let's say this. Let's say that your hair was 2 inches shorter than your shoulder. Would that make any difference if it was 2 inches or 1 inch? It wouldn't. It's all one, as if she was shaving. That's the point he's making. It's just as bad as if she shaved her entire head. That's what he's actually saying. So keep looking there. Look at verse 6. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. Saying shaven. That's what shorn means. He's being facetious. He's kind of being sarcastic. He's saying if she's going to have short hair, why don't you just shave her head? Now, how's that sound? That's the point he's making, right? You understand? He says, but if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, is it a shame? It is. Now look at this. Let her be covered. So it is a shame. So what's his point by this? He's being facetious. His point is, let her be covered. Let her be covered. That's what he ends with. That's the conclusion. Because it is a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven. Look at verse number 7. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much, so this is the reason why, as he is the image and glory of God. And then it says, but the woman is the glory of the man. Now, one thing, and I've pointed this out before, that you can learn from this, is that men are made in the image of God and women are not. Why is that? Well, look at verse number 8. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. And then it goes on, for this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. So he explains how the man was made and then the woman came afterwards. Now, when we look at the commandments here, men are commanded to have what? Short hair, not to have a covering, not to have long hair, right? Women are commanded what? To have a covering, to have long hair. Now, verse 7 says, for a man indeed ought not or shouldn't have long hair or cover his head, right? You can word that either way. For as much, now this is the reason why he should not have long hair. He is the image and the glory of God. Now, the whole reason that a man should not have long hair is because he is made in the image of God. Okay? Well, if women were also made in the image of God, would it make sense that she is allowed to have long hair? Wouldn't she also be shaming? Do you understand what I'm saying? She'd be shaming God? Well, that just proves that she's not made in the image of God. And what does it mean to be made in the image of God? It has nothing to do with value or worth. It has to do with what we look like. It's just a figure. That's all that it is. God is not a woman. God is a man. So men are made in his image or what he looks like, and women are not, because we're different and God is a man. That's all that means. Men and women are of the same value. They just have different purposes. Look at verse 8. It says this, for the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. Verse 10, for this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. Verse 11, nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of God. Now, actually, what this is teaching you is that just because the man is made in the image of God, he's not of more worth and he's not of more value. I don't know if you catch that or not, but what he's saying is, man cannot exist without woman, and woman cannot exist without man. That's the point. So don't be haughty, man. That's actually the purpose, because the woman was made from the man, and man can be like, ha, she came out of me, right? Well, guess what? Every man that's come since then has come out of woman in the same exact way. That's the point that's why I believe he follows up right after he explains the image of God. He actually follows up to make sure that you understand that this is nothing of value or nothing of worth. There's a symbiotic relationship where man and woman are actually reliant upon each other, proving that it's not this independence in just in this one area of worth or value. Look at verse number 12 now. We're going to read that again in conjunction with the following verses. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of God. Verse 13. Judge in yourselves. So he's saying just think in yourselves. Now what he's about to do is very interesting, because what Paul does is he appeals to your nature. He appeals to your conscience. Because there are things that you know, being just as a human being, everyone knows this. It doesn't matter who he's writing to, everyone knows these things. The Bible talks about the law being written in your hearts. You know right from wrong. We all know right from wrong. So that's why Paul says, judge within yourself. That's what he means by that. Think about the statement, judge within yourselves. Like, I want you to judge this. Just think within your own heart, right? Would he tell you to do that if you were going to come out with the wrong answer? No. Of course, some people may be silly and stupid because they're defying their own conscience. But your conscience has the law. You have the law is written in your own hearts. And then we have our conscience, which bears record or witness with that. That's how we are made naturally. You know these things. You know right from wrong either way. Look at 1 Corinthians 11 now, verse 13 again. Judge in yourselves. Is it comely? That means like fitting, or is it right? Is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? So, is it okay if a woman just prays unto God with a shaved head? Does that sound okay? No, of course not. That doesn't sound right, does it? Do you know why? Because nature teaches you that women shouldn't have short hair like that. That's why. Because you know that already. Judge within yourself. That's why Paul says that. Look at verse number 14. Now he appeals to the man, your conscience in regards to the man. Verse 14, doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? I mean, this, you know, especially being a man, I'm sure women feel the same way when they look at women, but especially being a man and seeing another man with long hair, it's extremely embarrassing looking. I mean, it really is. It's just really, really embarrassing. Like, you know, if you're on a construction site, I don't even want to do it, but when the guys just do the, where they whip the hair, how ridiculous does it look? It's so girly, isn't it? It's embarrassing.
Right.
When a man stands there and brushes his hair, what does he look like? It's horrible, isn't it? When a man has to put his hair up in a ponytail. And he's messing with his hair. I don't even know how to do it. How weird is that? It's just strange, isn't it? It's so weird.
Amen.
What, brushing, like Fabio brushing his hair back. It's disgusting.
That's right.
It really is. It doesn't it make you feel uncomfortable as a man?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're by that, I mean, it makes me feel uncomfortable. I know that for sure. You know, and I'm sure women feel the same way about other women that have their hair cut extremely short or shaven. You know, but being a man, obviously, things like that would repulse me even much more from other men. It's very weird. Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it's a shame unto him? They, you know, our culture is so backwards in every area because you know what they try to do? Why do you think they made Fabio have long hair? Why do you think all these shows, what is the guy? It's not, the name of the show is not Zeus, is it? What's the name of that one guy? Fabio's not the actor, I don't think, but he looks like him. It's like some kind of warrior.
Hercules.
What is it? Is it Hercules?
Conan.
Yeah, well, there's Conan, there's Hercules. Now we got a couple of examples. That's not even what I was thinking of, but notice what they do every single time. They want the guy to be ultra masculine, but then what do they do? Give him long hair. Why? Confusion. They just want it to be weird and confusing, don't they? They just like, the world likes confusion. It's strange, because the world's just backward. Everything's warped. You know why? It's because people just, in their nature, were sinful, and they want to defy against God.
Yeah.
You know, here's the thing. That's not masculine. That's feminine. Mm-hmm. For a man to have long hair. It's shameful. It's embarrassing. It makes you look like a woman, is what it does. It makes you look like a girl. You look like, I don't care how big and muscular you are, you look like a sissy. When you have long hair, and you have to braid your hair, you have to comb your hair with, not comb it, brush your hair. You got to brush your hair, whip your hair around. It's weird, isn't it? Don't be picturing me with long hair up here. No, I'm just kidding. So, I mean, this right here, even if you judge within yourselves, what's it tell you? It's embarrassing. It's shameful. You should be ashamed. All these men that have long hair, you know, it's shameful.
Right.
You don't look cool, man. You look like a woman. Really. You
right.
Look, I'm not even saying that right now, derogatory. I mean, in the literal sense, you look like a woman. I mean, it's terrible that if you, you know, if a man, just because he has long hair, is standing at the wrong angle or something, and you look at him, you know, from behind, that you could maybe mistake out of your peripheral that might be a girl.
Right.
You think that's how God wanted things to be?
No.
Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 5. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 5. I'm going to finish reading here just this last other verse here. So it says in verse, last two verses, Verse 15, but if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. So notice, women, to have long hair is a glory to you. It's what would bring praise to you. It's what a man would look at, your husband would look at, and would glory over that. That would bring you praise. Not only that, God gave it to you. Think about that. It says, for it is given her for a covering. God intended on you and gave you long hair. And designed women and made them in a particular way so that they would have this as their covering and it would be their glory. Why would you not want to have something that God designed for you to have? Look at Deuteronomy chapter number 22, verse number 5. Now this is about clothing, but I just want to show you after we've looked at 1 Corinthians 11 that God created us differently. Our world tries to confuse things and try to make us the same. We're not the same. Men and women are totally different. That's why we're attracted to one another. Right. It's the differences that makes a man attracted to a woman and a woman attracted to a man. That's what causes the attraction.
Right.
So God designed us to be different, not to be the same.
Right.
Okay? But on top of that, God created a couple of systems. One being hair and number two being clothing that would further those distinctions between man and woman. Because God wants to make sure that there's no confusion. God wants there to be major differences. So he gives commandments that men dress one way, women dress totally different. What's the reason? Just to be different. That's it. That's all that it is. Men, I want you to dress like this. Women, I want you to dress like this. Men, I want your hair to be like this. Women, I want your hair to be like this. So here in Deuteronomy chapter number 22, verse number 5, we see a commandment in the Old Testament. And this is outside the scope of the sermon, so I'm not going to sit here and prove to you what I believe about this. But, you know, I didn't even think of it until just now. Yeah, but Jonathan Shelley's recent sermon. So I believe that men are to wear pants.
Amen.
I believe that men in the Bible wore pants.
Amen.
And I believe if men in the Bible wore dresses or skirts, it's just as weird. And it's freaky if a man wears a dress today. Nothing changed.
Right.
It's disgusting and it's weird. Okay?
Right.
I believe that women are to wear dresses and skirts. And I believe that God commanded that. And I believe that's what Deuteronomy 22:5 teaches. And I believe if you look throughout the Bible and compare scripture to scripture, it's very clear that men were wearing breeches. Men were wearing different types of pants. You know, hosen is used in the story of Daniel, Shadrach. It's actually Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Men are wearing pants throughout the Bible. And obviously, if men are wearing pants and they're supposed to wear two different things, I mean, it doesn't take a genius to figure out what women are wearing. It's a process of elimination. There's only two options. So if pants go here with men, you only have one thing left. Dresses go here. It's very obvious. Here in Deuteronomy 22:5, it says this. Let's go ahead and read it. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man. Then it says this. Neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all that do so are abomination of the Lord thy God. You can see this is very serious, isn't it? There's a lot of women that walk around today dressing with a pair of pants on, aren't they? You know, wearing pants, right? Like I said, I'm not going to prove that. The Bible teaches that men and women are to wear two different types of clothing. Men are all... Every time an article of clothing is mentioned that a man's wearing the under portion of his body, it's pants every single time. Every time that it's specified. Every time. Let that sink in. Every single time. Process of elimination. Women wear dresses. We have to wear different things. It's not hard. It's not difficult. Okay? God wants there to be a difference. That's what I want you to come away with right now from this verse, is God wants there to be a distinction. He wants there to be a difference. Now, I want you now to go to Matthew chapter number 2, verse number 23. We're going to get into the objections. Quickly, I want to explain to you, while on that same thought of where we just were, of being distinctions, there being distinction and God desiring for there to be distinctions, someone may ask the question, well, how long is long enough and how short is short enough? I think a once wise man explained this very well. I think he gave a very good explanation of there needs to be a major buffer there. There needs to be a section where neither men nor women even touch. And I believe that that is a perfect reason why God didn't give you any sort of measurement. God didn't tell you, hey, make sure that your hair is this long, make sure that your hair is this short. I think that there needs to be a major gap. So God doesn't tell you. I'm not going to give you any sort of, you know, specific instructions on that. But this is all I would say. Make sure your hair is long, ladies. Make sure your hair is short, men. That's the advice that you walk away with from the Bible. There should be, what's the purpose for it? Difference. Distinction. So should your hair be pretty close? No. The whole purpose is to make it totally different, isn't it? So men, your hair needs to be short. Women, your hair needs to be long. So it needs to be a major difference. You know, if someone said, hey, if you had to say how long would you say? I would say, personally, that women's hair need to be at least to their shoulders. At least to their shoulders. Men, I can't really give you anything specific on that. You have times in the Bible where I believe it's Ezekiel is actually picked up by his hair. So Ezekiel's hair was longer than mine is, obviously. I mean, maybe somebody, an angel, I guess, could, you know, that's what picked him up, grabbed me and jerked me up on my head. But his hair, I would say, is not much longer than mine. You know, I mean, you know, you have no idea. Brother Josh is trying to see if somebody, an angel, can pick him up too back there. You guys are staying beat. You ain't going nowhere. Yeah, but here's the thing. You know, all I have to say is this. Ezekiel's hair was nowhere near long. So how long was it? It's nowhere near long. I don't know. I can't give you a better answer, but it wasn't near what a woman's hair was like. Why? Because it's shameful. You know, if he was a man of God who's trying to follow God's laws, right? The men of the Bible, their hair wasn't long. You know why? Because the Bible says it's a shame for a man to have long hair. So you have to decide that for yourself. My advice to you would be make sure that you don't even get close to it. You better make sure you even stay out of the buffer zone. Stay out of the possible sinning zone, right? I see you guys are doing that.
Amen.
Look here, so I want to get into a couple of the objections now. So one objection is Jesus had long hair. So number one, we've already disproven that. You say, how? Well, 1 Corinthians chapter number 11 says that we are made in the image of God. And that we would shame God, men that is. Men, if we were to have long hair, we would shame God, right? Now, who is the image of God? Jesus. He is the image of the invisible God. So if Jesus is God's image, and he has long hair, would it make sense if I had long hair and I had the exact same type of hair he had, that I would be shaming him? It would make no sense, would it? You know, the only way that it would make sense is if he had short hair and I had long hair. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Then I would be shaming him. Further than that, we know for a fact that he didn't have long hair because the Bible says that men are in the image of God and women are not. And the very next statement is that women should have. I'm going to read that to you. I can't remember it. Just stay right there in Matthew chapter number 2 where you're at. But the very next statement after it clarifies that, it says this. But the woman is the glory of the man. Saying that the woman can have long hair. Because why? She's not in the image of God. I mean, it's as clear as day. Men should not have long hair because they would be shaming God because God does not have long hair. But it's okay for the woman to have long hair because she's not made in the image of God. So, I mean, there's no other interpretation. You can walk away. Jesus is the image of the invisible God. That's case closed. Jesus did not have long hair. Not only that, it would be a shame if Jesus had long hair. And Jesus is not a man that had reproach in the sense of he brought sin unto himself. He was a perfect man. He was the spotless lamb. The Bible tells us, you know, for he made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. The Bible tells us, you know, also in Hebrews chapter 4, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. It's a sin for a man to have long hair. It's a shame for a man to have long hair. Jesus was perfect. He was the perfect spotless lamb. And then also that in tangent with 1 Corinthians 11, us being made in the image of God and him being the image of God. So, I mean, that's case closed right there. But their problem, and this is what I'm going to focus on at the very end, which is very interesting, their problem stems from just a lack of Bible knowledge in the first place. Because what do they say? Jesus was a Nazarite. Well, that's incorrect. Jesus was not a Nazarite. I want you to look at Matthew chapter number 2, verse number 23. The Bible says this about Jesus Christ. It says in Matthew chapter number 2, verse number 23, it says this, and he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophets. I want you to watch this closely. It makes a big difference. He shall be called a Nazarene. Now, there's a big difference between a Nazarite and a Nazarene. A Nazarene is someone, as you can see from this verse, that dwells in the city of Nazareth. It's someone that's just from Nazareth. Now, a Nazarite doesn't have to live in Nazareth. The reason why someone is a Nazarite is because they've taken what is known as the Nazarite vow. They can be of any city, or any tribe in the nation of Israel, and if they take part in the Nazarite vow, they are a Nazarite. People will say, "Well, Jesus was a Nazarite." That's not found in Scripture anywhere. That's not found. That's their first error. That's not found in Scripture anywhere. Jesus was a Nazarene. He was from Nazareth. But on top of that, their second misunderstanding comes from what the Nazarite vow actually teaches. I want you to turn with me to go to Judges chapter number 16, verse number 13. Judges chapter number 16, verse number 13. Joshua Judges. Judges chapter number 16, verse number 13. Now, I'm gonna first show you right now where this misunderstanding comes from. It comes from a particular person in the Bible. And, of course, it's Samson. I'm sure you were probably aware that this is where we're turning to, the story of Samson. So the first question is, well, what about Jesus? Didn't Jesus have long hair? You show somebody the clear scripture in 1 Corinthians 11, that's all you really should need. But if someone wanted to have long hair, what would they say? Well, what about Jesus? Well, Jesus was not a Nazarite, number one. Jesus was a Nazarene because he was from Nazareth. And then someone would say, well, Samson was a Nazarite. What about Samson? Does it make sense? Let's start with this. Does it make sense that God, we're going to look at the Nazarite vow, that God would give a vow, the Nazarite vow, that would force someone, in order to be in compliance with this particular vow, to break the law of God, at least within your hearts, saying that it's a shame to have long hair? Would that make sense? That God would put a vow into place that would cause you to be ashamed or to sin as a man? Does that make sense? It doesn't, does it? Wouldn't that be the epitome of God being the author of confusion? Having two laws or two commandments, basically, that are contradicting, and if you take one, then you're sinning over here. I mean, wouldn't that be a mess? The law would be the law would be a joke at that point, wouldn't it? So just starting off there, then would it make sense that the Nazarite vow actually taught that you had to have long hair? No, it wouldn't, would it? So keep that in mind. That's our starting point. We already know it's very clear that it's a shame for a man to have long hair, and a woman, it would be a shame for a woman to have short hair. Look at Judges chapter number 16. I want you to look at verse number 13. This is where people get this teaching that Samson had long hair. Look at verse number 13. It says this, "And Delilah said unto Samson, hitherto thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, if thou weavest the seven locks of my head with the web." Now, first, I want to stop right here, and I want to ask you a question. If Samson had long hair, but the Nazarite vow, which we're going to look at it in just a moment, but the Nazarite vow didn't teach that he had to have long hair. But then elsewhere, like in 1 Corinthians 11, the Bible teaches and tells you very plainly that it's a sin for a man to have long hair. What would be the judgment on Samson then? He would just be being disobedient to God, wouldn't he? Now, just because you can find an example of a man doing something, does that mean that it's okay to do it? So just because Samson has long hair, or possibly, and I'm going to get into that and give you my opinion about his hair length in just a moment. We're going to use Scripture. If we're going to have an opinion, we need to have based upon Scripture. So I'm going to give you an opinion on his hair length, my personal opinion, based on Scripture, on how long I think his hair is. But even if Samson has long hair, and the Bible says it's a shame to have long hair, does that mean it's all of a sudden okay? No, it's still a shame. Now what you have is Samson's sin. You don't have God's law being compromised. You have Samson being ashamed unto himself. That's what you have. So I want everyone to understand that before we actually start looking at these scriptures. So I want you now, let's go to, while we're on this subject, I want you to keep your hand here and go to 2 Samuel chapter number 14. 2 Samuel, just a few pages really forward to your to the right. 2 Samuel chapter number 14. Another person that's mentioned in having long hair, which this is going to become relevant in a minute, in the Bible, is Absalom. It's Absalom. Look at 2 Samuel chapter number 14, verse number 26. Verse number 26, it says this, "And when he polled his head, for it was at every year's end that he polled it, because the hair was heavy on him, therefore he polled it, he weighed the hair of his head at 200 shekels after the king's weight." So, we're not going to go into the weight of his hair or anything like that, but he had very long hair is what the Bible is teaching. So, it tells you, number one, that it says, "For it was at every year's end that he polled it." He's cutting his hair one time a week. Now, does that sound like that's often enough? That alone is telling you, or one time a year, I'm sorry, I said one time a week. One time a year, yeah, I cut my hair like every other day. No, one time at the year's end is what it's saying. So it's at the end of the year. So he's only cutting his hair one time a year. Now, does that sound like that's often enough? Not even close, right? Does it sound like he's going to be able to keep his hair short if he's only cutting his hair one time? And that's why the Bible actually tells you, you know, it ends up being the weight of it is 200 shekels after the king's weight. So it's long is the point of it. I also want to draw your attention to the word pole. The word pole in the Bible just means to cut. To cut, it's not referring to shaving. It's actually referring to using scissors. To trimming something or cutting something. Not a razor, not shaving. He's not, see, his hair, he's keeping his hair long. And what he's doing is he's just cutting it. I don't know how long his hair actually is. He allowed it to get and then he just cuts it every year, right? Absalom, at this time, if you're familiar with Absalom, was he a righteous man or an unrighteous man? Unrighteous. Do you know actually the perfect word that describes Absalom's life right now at this point is rebellion. It's rebellion because what he ends up doing is actually starting a real rebellion against David. So this is not a good example of one of the only people in the Bible that has long hair. Do you know what he's doing? He's in a very rebellious state of his life right now. And actually, you can see a transition to where later on in his life, he becomes more rebellious. So wouldn't it make perfect sense? Wouldn't it make perfect sense that it would mention him having long hair later on when he is rebellious? And it emphasizes that taking place at a rebellious time in his life? Now, wouldn't that make perfect sense also? Go back to Judges. Wouldn't that make perfect sense also? That if he is rebellious, he wouldn't care about God's law. He'd be rebelling against God's laws too. It would make sense, wouldn't it? And what's one of God's laws? It's a shame for a man to have long hair. So does that sound like a person that gives a rip about God's law? This is not another good example. This is actually, it would make sense that this guy is disobedient to God's law. Disobedient to God's law in his heart or nature teaching him these things. So I want you at this point, keep your hand in Judges. If you have a bulletin, as I so often say, just slide that right there in Judges 16, because we're going to be looking in Judges here. We're also going to go to Ezekiel in just a moment, but I want you to go back to Numbers chapter number 6. Numbers, the book of Numbers chapter number 6, where the Nazarite vow is actually found. Now, I understand why people can be a little confused about this. I was confused about this for a very long time. And I'm going to show you the verse that I really feel like puts all of this together in just a moment. But Numbers chapter number 6, with our language today, and not comparing scripture with scripture, not using the wording of the Bible, I can understand even why in Numbers chapter number 6 a person could think that this chapter is teaching that a man is just not to cut his hair at all. But I'm actually going to show you that that's not what this is teaching. I want you to look at Numbers chapter number 6, verse number 1. The Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When either man or woman shall separate themselves to vow a vow of a Nazarite, to separate themselves unto the Lord." So notice this is just a vow. You don't have to be from Nazareth. Verse 3, "He shall separate himself from wine and strong drink, and shall drink no vinegar of wine or vinegar of strong drink, neither shall he drink any liquor of grapes. That's like liquid. Any liquor of grapes, nor eat moist grapes or dried. Verse 4. All the days of his separation shall he eat nothing that is made of the vine tree, from the kernels even to the husk. Verse 5. All the days of the vow of his separation there shall no razor come upon his head. Now notice what that just said. Now let's just go through this slowly. Did that say that he's not supposed to cut his hair? What did it say very specifically? He's not allowed to have a razor upon his head. Okay? That matters. There's a major difference. Look at verse 5. All the days of the vow of his separation, there shall no razor come upon his head until the days be fulfilled, in the which he separateth himself unto the Lord, he shall be holy. And watch this. And let the locks of the hair of his head grow. Now, a lot of people will look at this and they'll say, we're at the very end, and I'm going to prove to you the right interpretation. I'm going to go ahead and give you the right interpretation after I explain to you the misunderstanding. People will say, well, notice it says that he shall let the locks of the hair of his head grow. What a lot of people will say is that just means he's not allowed to cut his hair. That he needs to just let the locks of his hair grow, right? That's not what this is teaching. Now, I'm going to show you that from Scripture in just a moment. But what this is actually saying is that he's not allowed to shave his head. It's the same commandment that was given just a moment ago. That he's not allowed to put a razor upon his head. Now, let's say this. I've been mentioning you guys, but I actually need to use you as a real example right now. Brother Anthony keeps a real clean shave, so I have to use him as an example. Now, Brother Anthony, do you ever allow hair to even appear on your head, really? This is a perfect, you are the perfect illustration. Like, you understand what I'm saying? That is a perfect example of a person not allowing the locks of their hair to grow. Now, I get a haircut all the time, constantly. And you know what I do? I allow the locks of my hair to grow all the time, but then I cut my hair. The commandment that's given here is not to have a haircut. It's not that they can't have a haircut. The commandment that's given, he tells you in the very beginning, all the days of the vow of his separation, there shall no razor come upon his head. That's the commandment. Until the days be fulfilled in which he separated himself unto the Lord, he shall be holy, it says, and shall let the locks of the hair of his head grow. So during that period of time, there's no mention about not cutting your hair. You can cut your hair, but specifically what you are not allowed to do is what? Put a razor upon your head. Now, I get a haircut, but I allow the locks of my hair to grow. Brother Anthony does not allow his hair to grow at all. You know what he does? Before it even starts to grow, he shaves it and cuts it. That's a perfect example of what this is talking about. Look at verse number 6. All the days that he separated himself unto the Lord, he shall come at no dead body. Verse number 7, he shall not make himself unclean for his father, for his mother, for his brother, or for his sister when they die, because the consecration of his God is upon his head. All the days of his separation, he is holy unto the Lord. And if any man die very suddenly by him, and he hath defiled the head of his consecration, then he shall shave his head in the day of his cleansing. On the seventh day shall he shave it. So what's used interchangeable there? What are you doing when you use a razor? You're shaving. So what's going on here? They're completely removing all of the hair off of their head. You know what they're doing? They're not allowing the lock. That's an example of not allowing the locks of your hair to grow. I'm going to prove that to you from the Bible in just a minute. Very, very, very plainly. I want you to turn now. I want you to go to Ezekiel chapter number 44. Now, some of the things that are mentioned here, if you look at the Nazarite vow, do you know what other office it lines up perfectly with? The priests. Every single commandment, basically, that the Nazarite vow is given, is also given to the priests in the Bible. We're going to see that in this exact passage. Here are a lot of the commandments that are given to the priests in the law when the Nazarite vow are given. There are commandments also given here in Ezekiel chapter number 44. It's when the temple is reinstituted. When the building of the temple comes back, you know what he does is he goes ahead and he gives a lot of the commandments to the priests again. And he gives them those commandments, a lot of the same commandments that were given previously in the law. So this is speaking unto the priests. I want you to look at verse number 17. And it shall, this is Ezekiel 44, verse 17. And it shall come to pass that when they enter in at the gates of the inner court, they shall be clothed with linen garments, and no wool shall come upon them, while they minister in the gates of the inner court and within. They shall have linen bonnets upon their heads, and shall have linen breeches upon their loins. This is a perfect example of men wearing pants. They shall not gird themselves with anything that causeth sweat. And when they go forth into the utter court, even into the utter court to the people, they shall put off their garments wherein they ministered, and lay them in the holy chambers. And they shall put on other garments, and they shall not sanctify the people with their garments. Now I want you to pay close attention to verse number 20. Neither shall they shave their heads. But I want you to look at this next part. Excuse me. Nor suffer their locks to grow. Look at that word. Long. They shall only pull their heads. Now, there's like three things that we can learn from this. Number one, we can learn that your hair, even when it's not long, can be referred to as locks. Now, there was a gentleman that used to go to the church that I attended in Arizona who lived a lot of his life in England. And I showed him this to him, and I spoke to him about this, and he said, that's super common in England. That we would refer to, he said, you know, I would refer to your hair, certain patches of your hair as locks. And I said, this is long enough? He's long enough? And he said, yeah. And that makes perfect sense because the King James Bible, you know, is based upon that language that is in England. And we, of course, moving away and living in America, migrating to America, our language has changed more. So their language would be closer to the language of the Bible. It would develop or evolve slower. So he even said, even in his language that he grew up with in England, that they would, with short hair, they would refer to it as locks. According to the Bible, I can prove that because it says this, they're not to suffer their locks to grow long. Notice it's still referred to as locks even when it's not long. Number one. Number two, they're commanded not to shave their head. But they're also told, don't let your hair grow long. So you know what that means? You can be obedient to the command, don't let a razor come upon your head, don't shave your head at all, but don't have long. But you cannot have long hair all at the same time. You know why? Because you're pulling your hair. You're still cutting your hair. So the priests were obedient to what would be considered the Nazarite vow, weren't they? They were obedient to that exact command because they never had a razor come upon their head. But do you guess what else? You know what else they did? They cut their hair. They didn't allow their hair to be long either. Notice also what it says. Don't allow nor suffer their locks to grow long. It doesn't just say that they don't allow it to grow. Those are two totally different things. It doesn't say nor suffer their locks to grow, nor suffer their hair to grow. It says nor suffer their hair to grow long. They're allowing their hair to grow, right? But they're not allowing it to grow long. Okay? It says this, they shall only pull their head. So they're cutting their hair still, but they're not shaving their head. Now, look at the next verse. Neither shall any priest drink wine when they enter into the inner court. Look at verse 22. Neither shall they take for their wives. Skip down to verse 23. And they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and profane, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. Look at verse 25. And they shall come at no dead person to defile themselves. Does this sound familiar? This is every single one of the Nazarite vows, all of the qualifications in order to keep the Nazarite vow, every one of them is the same for a priest. Every single one of them. There's actually an example of a person that went into the temple that kept the Nazarite vows. Anybody know who it is?
Samuel.
Samuel. Samuel, when Hannah's praying, she says, I'm not going to shave his head. That's only found one place. So the only thing she could be referring to is she's separating him as a Nazarite. That's the only thing that it could be referring to. You don't just become a priest. You can't just become a priest. You know, you have to be of the line of Levi. And Samuel was not. So the only thing that he could have been doing is being sanctified under the Lord in this area. But that's my point is, all it is sanctification. They're being set apart. They want these certain things to be going on. So it's not a coincidence we find, over here we see the Nazarite vow, everything lines up with the Nazarite vow with the priest. Every single aspect. And he actually even tells them, hey, I don't want you putting a razor on your head. But then he gives you a little bit more information over here, and he says, nor do I want you to suffer the locks of your hair to grow long. Why? Because it's a shame for a man to have long hair. That's why. And you're representing God. You're even more so. Men represent God anyways because you're in the image of God, but these men even more so are representing God, aren't they? As the priests of God or in the image of God, even more so, if you will, right? So these men are still obedient. They have the same types of commands, and they're still obedient to the Nazarite vow, even when they're cutting their own hair. I want you to go to Judges chapter number 13, verse number 5. A lot of people think that what caused Samson to lose his strength was that he got a haircut. Who's seen movies where his hair's cut? I've never seen a movie that is anything different. It's always, he just gets his hair trimmed, isn't it? That's not what it is. If Samson would have just got a haircut, he wouldn't have lost his strength. And I'm going to prove that to you. Like I said, look at Judges chapter number 13, verse number 5. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb. And he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. What's the commandment that's given to her? Never put a razor on his head. Did she mention anything about not cutting his hair? Never. Not one time. Not one time is it mentioned that, hey, don't cut his hair. Not one time. Go to Judges chapter number 16, verse number 17. Judges chapter number 16, verse number 17. This is actually when Delilah is manipulating Samson, deceiving Samson. I want you to look at Samson speaking to Delilah here. Judges 16, verse 17. Notice what he says. We'll read verse 15 first. And she said unto him, how canst thou say I love thee when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these three times, and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. And it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death. Verse 17. That he told her all his heart and said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon mine head. Did he say he's never had a haircut? He's very specific, isn't he? He said, there's never been a razor that's come upon mine head. He said this, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. Watch this. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. Samson had to have a razor upon his head. Samson had to have his head completely shaven in order to break that Nazarite vow. Now, he had already broken all the other points of the Nazarite vow, and this was the last one. I don't know if you've ever read and noticed that. This was the last point that he hadn't, and it was dangling. The very last one. And as soon as he breaks that last hair, I guess was if that's the way specifically that it worked, as soon as that last hair was shaven, he lost his power that God had given him. It wasn't just a haircut. He had to be shaven. I want you to go to Judges chapter number 16, verse number 22. Actually, let's keep reading. Let's just read verse 18. We're going to read down through the story. It says this, when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up this once, for he hath showed me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand, and she made him sleep upon her knees. And she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the seven locks of his head. He didn't just get a haircut. He had his head totally shaven with a razor. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. Look at verse 21. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass. And he did grind in the prison house. So it's telling you they brought him down there and they have him working as a servant or as some sort of slave. But look at verse 22. Howbeit, the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. Look at verse 23. This is extremely significant in understanding this. Then the lords of the Philistines gathered them together for to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon, their god, and to rejoice. For they said, our God hath delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hand. Verse 25, skip down, please. And it came to pass when their hearts were merry that they said, call for Samson that he may make us sport. And they called for Samson out of the prison house. And he made them sport, and they set him between the pillars. And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, suffer me that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them. Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there. And there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made sport. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, and on which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand and of the other with his left. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. A lot of people focus on the prayer that Samson made, but that's not the clear emphasis on why Samson received his strength back. The clear reason, the primary reason, is given by the Holy Spirit in verse number 22. The Bible never tells you in a specific manner that God answered his prayer. It never says that. People interpret it that way, but that's never said in this passage one time. What you have in verse number 22 is it tells you this: howbeit, the hair of his head began to grow again after that he was shaven. That's inspired by the Holy Spirit. What's the point? Then you have to be a fool not to see it. He's now in accordance with the Nazarite vow again. So do you know what that teaches? You know what that tells you? He didn't have to have long hair in order to be obedient to the Nazarite vow. You know what he had to do? All he had to do was allow the hairs of his head to grow. Not grow long. Go back to Numbers chapter number 6. I want you to look at it one more time, and then we're going to end here. Numbers chapter number 6. Look at verse 5 again. All the days of the vow of his separation, there shall no razor come upon his head until the days be fulfilled in the which he separated himself unto the Lord. He shall be holy, and watch this, and shall let the locks of the hair of his head grow. Judges chapter number 16, verse 22. Howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again. You know what happened? He just had any hair on his head. That's all that it was. It just began. What's it mean that it began to grow? It just started. That's what it's saying. It just started. He just has a little bit of hair on his head. The whole, what it actually is it's not having any hair on your head at all. What you actually have to do in order to be obedient and to be in accordance with the Nazarite vow is to just not shave your head. That's all that it is. And when we compare the priest's commandments of how they are to keep themselves, all of the different things they have to do to be in accordance with their laws, they're identical to that of the Nazarite, aren't they? And then the same commandments given to them, hey, never a razor come upon your head, never. But I do, you know, nor do I want you to suffer the locks of your hair to grow long. So they're keeping the same commandment, but then also he gives the priest this special little instruction, don't allow your hair to grow long either, right? And then, when does Samson lose his strength? When his head is shaved. Because that's what's breaking the law. Not getting a haircut. Then, on top of that, when does he regain his strength? And this is really the nail in the coffin. When he has any hair at all. That proves that he's obedient to that command. That proved. Now, I want to go back to one last thing here. Did Samson have long hair? Well, I don't know how she's going to weave his hair without him having at least somewhat long hair. He had to have had, just reasonably looking at that passage, he had to have had at least enough hair on his head where you're able to weave it in some way, to braid it, is what it's saying, right? However much hair that is. But do you know what makes perfect sense? Who's the only other person that has long hair in the Bible? Absalom. What state of his life was he in? What state of Samson's life was he in? Rebellion. He'd already broken all of the laws, all of the commandments, so why would I look at him for an example? he's with a prostitute. He's broken every command, like one after another of the Nazarite vow, one after another, and this is the very last one. Right. So why would I think that he's a good example to teach me? And you know what I have? Just go, always go back to the clear scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, what does it tell you? Does not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? It was, if Samson's hair was long, in God's eyes, it was shameful and he was sinning. There's never a commandment in the Bible that... The Bible never contradicts. This is what I want you to walk away with. The Bible never contradicts. 1 Corinthians 11 does not contradict Numbers chapter number 6. And how beautiful is it when you actually start digging in? It makes perfect sense, doesn't it? Perfect sense. You can actually see, yeah, Samson... You know, if Samson had long hair, it was it was disobedience, wasn't it? And when was he obedient? As far as the command that God gave, he was obedient immediately, just when he had any hair at all. So it makes perfect sense. You know, that's why we don't just you know, take, you know, pictures that people will draw of people. We don't just take teachings that we've been taught and we've grown up with. You know, you don't just believe these things. Because what you're actually doing is you're embracing contradictions in the Bible when you do that. You're embracing things that make Jesus look like he's shameful when you believe that Jesus had long hair. You're embracing things that make, you know, and if Samson had long hair, you know, his hair wasn't just cut, his hair was shaven. So we need to pay close attention when reading the Bible and not read it in the light of things that we've learned. We need to read the Bible, and that's our starting point. So we can see there's no contradictions in the Bible. You'll never find a contradiction in the Bible. The Bible's perfect. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father God, we thank you, dear Lord, for all of the scripture. We can compare scripture to scripture. We thank you that you command us to study. Obviously, that tells us that we need to study. We thank you, dear Lord God, for giving us everything that we need to have all of the answers. Just be with us. Bless everyone here. Help them to love their Bibles. Help us all to care about you and to want to know you more. And help us just to have a great faith in your word. And we love you and be with us. And in Jesus Christ's name, amen.